As we deal with questions about, let's say, government authority that happened in 2020 when it came to vaccines, or in 2025 when it came to law enforcement in different times. And what happens is inevitably, after people start talking about what they think should happen and what should happen, somebody decides to solve it with a Bible verse, right? And so they say, the person who's like, I think this is a good idea, just looks at somebody and they say, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and give unto God that which is God's. And they're like, that's it, right? Like, let the government do what the government's supposed to do and let God do what God's supposed to do and just be quiet about it, kind of a thing. And as you do that, one of the things that I can tell you is, if you believe one Bible verse will solve something, I need you to know that I went to seminary and it's always more complicated than that, right? Like, always. I always thought when I went to seminary that that would answer my questions. Instead, I came out with a whole new set of questions and all kinds of tricky things that go along. And so I think it's important, if we're gonna deal with the question that Jesus asks here, I think it's important to figure out, what is he dealing with? And what is the conversation that he's having? And so the scripture starts with this. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. First things first, Jesus calls them hypocrites in a moment in the story. And the reason he calls them hypocrites in the story is because hypocrite is a word that means actor. They don't actually have this problem. They want to act in order to put Jesus in a bind. They're trying to trap him. It says, they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, two groups here. The Pharisees are a strict Jewish religious group that say, let's follow all the laws and let's follow versions of the law that we make sure will never put us in a position to sin. So we like build, not only do we follow the law, we build this big old bubble around it to make sure that we'll never have something be bad. We'll never sort of mess up or things like that. Extra, extra Jewish religious. And when it came to paying taxes to Caesar, they believed it was a violation of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before you. So they were advocating, let's never pay the taxes to Caesar again. The Herodians, on the other hand, were the people who followed Herod at that time. If you know any of the Bible story, when Jesus is born, Herod the Great is the king that does some pretty bad stuff to a whole bunch of kids all across the Middle East because he's scared of losing his power. Later on, we get Herod Antipas, who is the king at the time that Jesus is crucified. And you're going, wait, there's like Pharisees who are leading, but the Romans had picked a Jewish leader to be the political leader of the community. And the Herodians, their opinion was, if we would just work with the Romans and do what the Romans say, everything will be fine. Needless to say, the Pharisees and the Herodians do not get along with each other, and their main argument is over whether it's lawful to pay taxes, because they know if they follow the Pharisees, the Romans will be mad, and they'll burn the entire place to the ground. That's what the Romans did. And if they follow the Herodians, all the religious people will be mad, because it really is a violation of the first commandment to worship an emperor who thinks he's God. And so they go, this is a perfect question to ask Jesus, because he's going to make half the people angry, right? Wouldn't that be fun? They don't want Jesus to be powerful. They want themselves to be powerful. And so they go to Jesus and they go, is it lawful to pay taxes or not? And so Jesus is stuck in the middle of this. Do we side with the leaders or do we side with our own autonomy? And so he says this, show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And then I need you to know, this is objectively funny. I can't stop laughing at it. He goes, whose head is this and whose title? The coin had the most famous person on anywhere on the earth, a picture on it. And so one of two things is happening. He's either sort of laughing at the fact that this is what it is that they're showing him, or I like to think he genuinely doesn't know who Caesar is. He's so focused on who he is, he's like, I don't really care who that guy is. He doesn't matter to me. I don't know. Let me look at this coin. Let me see who it is. And if you know anything about it, in the Roman world, the coins would bear the image of the current Caesar. All the coins that were made during that Caesar's reign would have that coin on it. Some of you are used to this idea. If you have change or you have dollars in your pocket, there are pictures on those things. They're generally of people who are not alive at this point in time, and they're generally of people who are considered to be sort of towering figures in protecting the Republic of the United States. And so we don't change those pictures very often, what we put on the money. If you're in England, the coin changes depending on who the queen or king is. When we make coins, when Queen Elizabeth is the queen, they all have the queen on them. When we switch over and we've got King Charles as the king, now we put King Charles on the coins. Isn't that fun? Whoever it is, that's the coin that we make. Because it really is honoring the image. It's honoring the person who is the leader. Though the faith that that is worth anything is based on the idea that that leader matters. That was what was happening in this place. And so Jesus looks at it. He's like, whose image is this? But the word image is important here. And the word he uses is a Greek word. It's the word icon, E-I-K-O-N. But it's a word that we use today still. Icon, I-C-O-N, same translation. Maybe you've heard this. Somebody is an icon. But an icon is a person who we look to. It is an image, and it's meant to be a reflection of something greater than itself. This is why you put the emperor's face on the coin. Because the value of the coin is a reflection of who the emperor is and what the emperor represents. A dollar bill or a 20 or a 100 has no value unless you trust the nation that has produced it, right? If I gave you a 1937 German Deutschmark, you'd be like, they burned those for firewood at one point in time. Nobody wants those things anymore. 1932. I did the wrong year. Sorry about that. I just failed spectacularly at history right now. I'm thinking about the ones during the Depression, not the ones later. Man. Don't try new things in front of people. Bad idea. Anyway, sorry about that. But sometimes there are things that are just not worth much at this point in time. And so you're dealing with that. But the faith of what that's worth is based on who the person is. So Jesus says, that has somebody's image on it. And because he uses this word icon, he's saying, he's reminding them of a truth that shows up in Scripture. That the image is always a reflection of the Creator. And how you treat the image, how you treat the icon, is a reflection of how you feel about the Creator. And so Jesus looks at this coin. He says, whose head and whose title is this? And they look back at him. The next verse says this. They answered, Caesar's. And he said to them, give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And if we're doing really bad theology, we say, see, we should have a separation of church and state. There should be some categories for the government that they should be in charge of, and there should be some categories for God that God should be in charge of. And other people are like, well, what do we do with that? We don't know what to do, and we should just obey what our leaders are telling us, and we're doing these things. This is not what Jesus is saying. Can I point something out that's really critical here that's easy to miss? What doesn't belong to God? That's the question he's asking. What doesn't belong to God? Because the image of Caesar on that coin means the coin belongs to Caesar. But if we look all the way back to the Old Testament, where it says that Jesus created them, or God, not Jesus, God created humans, male and female, and they were the image of God, suddenly we realize that humanity is the image of God, which means that the coin is the image of Caesar, but Caesar is the image of God. We start to realize that the Roman authority is really the image of Rome, but Rome is the image of, or is in the creation of God. That the world might belong to the leaders who are in it, but those leaders belong to God. And what Jesus does is he doesn't say, this is how we should treat the government. That's not what he's saying in this moment. He's not also saying, go and rebel like a crazy person. He's looking at these two people who have divergent views about how to deal with the world, both of which will cause incredible pain and suffering for the people who are there, whether it leads them further away from God or whether it leads them to their own destruction with Rome, which is eventually the way that they go. But Jesus says, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God's. And it ends with this. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Why did they do that? Why did they get so frustrated and leave? I think a lot of people miss this part. It's because Jesus puts them in a position to start to evaluate everything that might be God's in the world. Everything that might bear God's image. Everything, because if it bears God's image, it should be given to God. I think when Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's trying to teach them how to treat the things that bear God's image. He's shaping his commandments around people. Later on, he tells people the commandments can be summed up in this. Love the Lord, your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus is faced with this contrived dilemma between these two people meant to put him in a bad position, he says, there's no clear answer on what to do, but I'm going to tell you what is clear, that whoever you meet and however you treat them and however the lines have to be drawn for good order and sanity in the world, they will need to reflect this truth. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because, yeah, the world needs order. The world needs things to work themselves out. And so at some point in time, you're going to have to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But don't miss this. There's never going to be anything that isn't God's, including your heart, including your care for your neighbor, including this world. And when it falls short or falls apart or falls away, when human systems get broken and don't seem to work again and it doesn't seem like there's a solution going forward, Jesus reminds us once again, maybe you thought that was Caesar's, but it truly is God's. And God is in the business of restoring all things. So how? In the face of those who would entrap us, who would tell us there's only one way or another, there's only one side or another, you're either with us or against us, how do we not succumb to the idea that we need to go one direction in order to give the things to Caesar that are Caesar's? And instead, we always hold in our heart this truth. You and they bear the image of God. So how can we love one another? How can we share this love for one another in a way that reflects that we always bear God's image? That's the question. That's what pushes us forward. And that's what I pray for us to be able to do as a church, to stand in the middle and ask question, how does this reflect God's love? Because when we do that, we see healing, we see hope, we see strength with one another, and instead of trying to divide each other, we get to follow the way of Jesus that offers himself so that all who bear God's image might be reconciled again. For that good news, we give thanks and we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be reminded that when we feel trapped by questions and conversations around us, that we still have North Stars in our hearts. We still have things that we can point to, your great commandments that remind us to honor the image that we bear of you. Help us to remember that the way we connect ourselves back to you and the way we see the world as a reflection of you will help us build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. For that good news, we give thanks. And together, God's people said, amen.